Can you go back to that moment in time? You're 23, you've just found out that you've broken your back, which for most people, life is over as they know it. Talk to me about what that moment felt like for you and how you managed to turn your life around.
You know, when I was able to move and go to my doctor's for the first time, I remember absolutely bawling my eyes to her and being like, I just want to be normal. Like, I just want to be normal. And she looked at me and she just had so much compassion and in her eyes. She said to me, like, point blank, don't aim for normal, aim for extraordinary. Also, in this world where so much is changing economically and we're having a lot of layoffs and things like that, it's also a really awesome time to dream big and do something where you're creating a lot of value. And I feel that when you're able to be more aligned within yourself, you're able to figure out, how can I add value to the world?
Veronica, welcome to the Career Confidence by Sisterhood Club. I'm absolutely honored to have you here today. I've been really looking forward to this conversation for quite a while now. When I was researching you, I thought this is going to be an incredible conversation. You and I have very similar interests around personal development, high performance, women empowerment, leadership. So before we get into what I know is going to be a very enlightening conversation today, could you give a bit of a background into who you are and your journey and why you're so passionate about personal development? So over to you.
Absolutely. Well, thank you so much for having me. My name is Veronica. I'm a high performance coach. I work with operators, investors, and founders, as well as people in the professional services industries like lawyers, really using solution-based approaches to getting them to where they want to go, basically. But my background is actually law. I worked at Google and the largest global law firm, Baker McKenzie, with technology companies, just to advising them on their particular positions. And I really, really love the people that were in tech, and that's why I was so inspired to work with people in this space. And why I do high performance coaching is 10 years ago, I had an accident where I broke my back in 6 places. I was 23 at the time. I wanted to be an international diplomat, and just in a moment, my life totally changed, and I could no longer do what I'd spent like 18 years working my whole life for. And having to really rebuild my life after that, I had no skills and tools to be able to deal with that. And we all go through our own moment of time where something that we really want is taken off the table, or something happens and we don't know what to do with it. And I had no idea what to do with it. That's how I got into personal growth and self-development, to be able to really understand what I was capable of, even these particular circumstances, and apply it so they could have a really fulfilling and really enriching life no matter what had happened to me. So that's sort of why I got into it and why I'm so, so, so passionate about it. And in particular with women, I just think it's so incredible the things that we can do when we know what to do, when we know the sort of skills and tools that we can apply. So yeah.
Wow. There is going to be quite a lot that I'm going to pick out of that. But the first thing that I want to dive into in more depth is the accident that you had where you broke your back, because that's a life-defining moment. And I can imagine you could have taken two paths then. You could have gone down the path of, this is it, this is my diagnosis, I'm going to have problems the rest of my life, I could end up in a wheelchair. That could have been your path, or the other path which you've taken, which is now to really discover what the human body is capable of, what the human mind is capable of, and coaching people to become the best versions of themselves. So can you go back to that moment in time? You're 23, you've just found out that you've broken your back, which for most people, life is over as they know it. How did you dig yourself out of that? Because at 23, that's a very, very young age. So Wow. Talk to me about what that moment felt like for you and how you managed to turn your life around from that point in time.
That's a great question. So I think initially when it happened, it was honestly a really dark time, because I didn't know what my life would look like. I didn't know if I could leave my family home. I didn't know if I'd have a career. I was at uni. I didn't know if I could go back to uni and finish my studies. Like, I just thought my life was over, and that's how it felt. And I think that at the time, nothing you could say would have gotten me out of that, for sure. But then I remember when I was able to move and go to my doctors for the first time, I remember you know, absolutely bawling my eyes to her and being like, I just want to be normal. Like, I just want to be normal. And she looked at me and she just had so much compassion and in her eyes. And she said to me, like, point blank, she was like, don't aim for normal, aim for extraordinary. And I think those words like really reverberated within me and like almost imprinted on me as something for me to rise to of how do I become, you know, extraordinary in really challenging circumstances and don't just aim for, you know, normal. And so I think it was sort of in that pursuit of that excellence and that extraordinary life that I discovered, okay, well, this is my time to rise up to the challenge. And I sort of now treat it as something that's really, really beautiful that's happened to me. Obviously, I wouldn't have my career without it. And I think for me to sort of transmute it from something that was really horrible and was a life-defining moment to something that is really empowering and something that I have to work with and something that I feel really blessed to have every day, because even with my back now, I feel like it's a barometer. Like if I don't have a good day with it, then I know that I haven't maybe done everything that I need to do with it. And so I just trying to, you know, make the gold of really challenging circumstances sort of what that sort of challenge from that doctor was for me. And that's sort of why I think I was able to choose that path and choose something where I could have a better life as a result of it versus a worse life.
So powerful. And God, that doctor, like you literally owe your life to, because those words, like, don't aim for average, aim for extraordinary, like, incredible words, so motivating, so empowering. And just to hear that from somebody as a professional, you go, God, like, you've just completely opened my eyes to, yeah, maybe I am aiming too low. I don't want to be normal. I want to be extraordinary. I want my life to be incredible. So that is just what a complete change in perspective when you heard that, go, I've got this all wrong. And I think that's probably how so many people are feeling right now. Like, you know, I just want to earn enough money to get by, or I just want my business to, you know, start doing well, or, you know, I just want my career to, I just want to get that promotion. Well, are you aiming too low? So when we sort of talk about goals, high performance, and all that good stuff we're going to get into today, how important is it when you're setting goals and you're thinking about the future and what you want to create? What's your sort of like framework there? Do you have one when you're sort of talking to clients and advising them? Like, because, you know, we're told in our society to have a SMART goal, achievable, measurable. And I've always thought to myself, well, if it feels achievable, then am I really going to push myself outside of my comfort zone? Am I really going to show up every single day as the best version of me if it's really achievable? I've always liked to have stretch goals, stretch targets. That's how I like to operate. But I also appreciate that some people, you know, whilst they're sort of getting going in their career journeys and their business journeys, they just sort of like an achievable target to build up the momentum. But in your view and your experience, how do you sort of, I guess, go about setting goals and helping people achieve their career or business aspirations?
Absolutely. I think there's a couple of a couple of things to go into. So I remember when I was working at Google, they were big fans of what they call moonshoots. So ideas that were just so far out, but that actually might work. And so I think having that idea that, you know, these moonshoot ideas can actually pay off if you believe in them. So I think that understanding that we are capable of so many extraordinary things. And I think that that's a really exciting and empowering thing. So when it comes to goal setting, I actually do it quite differently. There's this school of thought, which is called, you know, which is called altered states of consciousness, which is that we have different brainwaves, electrical activity in our brains. And when we're in certain brainwaves, it allows us to think in a different way. So when we're operating like we are now, we're often in the better brainwave, which is sort of the normal frequency that we normally operate in. But if you're able to drop down into your alpha brainwave, that's when you're sort of able to problem solve, become more creative, and almost like, for want of a better word, intuit the goals that you are meant to have. And I'll give you an example. Steve Jobs was a master at this. He said that intuition was way more important than intelligence. And that's why Apple was so successful. So for me, with my clients, what I really try to do is I really try to get them into a state where they're going to create goals that are right for them, instead of attracting things that they've been told by society or their parents or whatever that they need. So I think when you are able to sort of go beyond the confines of what everybody else is telling you and then start thinking, all right, what is the right quest for me, if you will, and then going from there. And I think then if you go more practically, you've got some really great tools and tips out there. And I love this concept of asking yourself more empowering questions when it comes to goal setting. And when I'm doing this with my clients, I often get them to first like identify what they really, really want. And then I get them to identify why they want it. And then the third step and final step is now what do you do? So it's that three-step process that helps them figure out, okay, I'm going to start with this big, beautiful vision. I'm going to figure out why I want it. It's like the fuel. And then I'm going to figure out how I'm going to do it versus doing something that's so like something like a to-do list, for example, which really just sort of drains you because I know a lot of my clients always feel that they can never get it done. And I feel also in this world where so much is changing economically and we're having a lot of layoffs and things like that, it's also a really awesome time to dream big and do something where you're creating a lot of value. And I feel that when you're able to be more aligned within yourself, you're able to figure out how can I add value to the world.
I absolutely love that. This again, there's just so much in that. And I was reflecting as you were speaking there because I used to, but this is definitely old me 5 years ago. I never took the time to pause and reflect and be in those slower brainwave states like you just mentioned. Now meditation is part of my everyday life. I wake up every morning, I meditate, I think about the future and what I want to create. I do breathing exercise and things. And what that does is it centers me for the rest of the day, because what I used to do is I'd wake up, check my emails, check social media, and instantly I'm going from this nice sort of waking up state to just high beta, just like, oh my God, I'm on, stressed, what's going on today? Constantly reactive mode. And in that reactive mode, when I was in high beta and I was just constantly in this frantic state of being busy for busy's sake, really, I ended up just sort of becoming so just narrow focused, and I wasn't prioritizing the tasks so that she was going to move my business and my life, my relationships, my health forward. I was just in constantly like putting out fires, being reactive all the time. And I think what you just said then is really, really important. I wish I knew that many years ago, because it would have stopped me from one, becoming quite anxious and pretty much on the verge of burnout, which I think we can talk about, which I think a lot of people are.
Totally.
And two, it would just freed up the creative time, like you say. And now when I do take the time, when I actually take a weekend off and I'll go out in nature, it's amazing the ideas and, like you say, the creativity that can come from those experiences. But again, in our society, we are sort of like, I guess, glamorizing the hustle culture of like, you know, never switch off, hustle, 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 work hard, don't sleep, 4 hours, you know, it's so unhealthy. But it is kind of quite, I guess, still pushed upon you in the entrepreneurial world. So you must work with a lot of like high achievers. Do you find this often, that they really do find it hard to switch off and that they are coming to you quite burnt out, overwhelmed? And what advice would you have for anyone listening to this right now that perhaps is going through that right now?
Absolutely. Absolutely. So I think a lot of my clients, when they first come to me, they're highly adrenalized. They may have adrenal fatigue or burnout, if you will. And we have to work on that, because that actually prevents them going into these different states that we were just talking about. It prevents you from having creativity, and you're in a state of stress always. And so what happens there is that when you're in a state of fight or flight, you're in your reptilian brain and you're not in your prefrontal cortex, which is where you need to be if you need to have executive functioning and executive capacities that you need if you're a business owner or you know, anyone at all. Everybody needs to have that capacity to be the very best versions of themselves. So I think when we're able to do some of these things, it's funny because in the space of, you know, 45 minutes to an hour, they can go from super stressed and, you know, really tense to actually having a really great plan going forward, all relying on their own inner resources, which is really cool. So I think in terms of tips and tricks that I would use for anybody who's maybe experiencing a little bit of burnout and or just feeling really, really stressed, is to first recognize that burnout is a first and foremost a physiological response. So fight and flight often is, all these chemicals go through your body and your muscles respond in a particular way. So the way that you can sort of counteract that is doing things like the full body relaxation, which is squeezing muscles and then releasing them. And that is a physiological response to stress, and it sort of levels out the playing field. So I think starting to think about stress as first and foremost a physiological phenomenon is really, really helpful, because then it sort of gives you this space to be like, okay, well, where's this tension in my body? I've got to just relax that and let it go. And just becoming really, really, really discerning about that. And I think what I've noticed in my work with high performers is figuring out that the higher performing person, the better and more aware they are of their body, as well as they're just a lot more self-aware. They know when to push it and they know when to pull back. They know when it's like a stretch that they just need to, hustle in for, and they know when to take a step back. And I think that that's really the power and the genius of a high performer, is that sort of real discernment, the ability to go into your intuition, the ability to sort of just execute. And that's what I see, and that's what I feel like helps a lot of people with burnout, because when you have that discernment, you know what to do. You're not spending 12 hours a day being like, I'm so burnt out. You know how to rejuvenate yourself. You know how to best serve the world. So
it is so important, and something that I'm extremely passionate about and preach a lot, because I've been on the other side of that, and I know what that feels like to feel, like
absolutely.
I've constantly got to be on all the time. I can't take breaks in the day, booking myself multiple meetings without sort of having 5-10 minutes break in between. And you can do it for a period of time. This is what I think. Like anyone that comes to me and says, I want to start a business, or I want to do this, or how do I achieve this? I say, look, for the first 12 months, maybe even 18 months, maybe even 2 years, right? That is going to take time, energy, resources, and you're going to have to just, basically work harder, I believe, than you've ever worked before to get your business off the ground in the first couple of years. That's what I think it takes. But it is not sustainable over a long period of time, from my personal experience. Now, having said that, I feel like older, wiser Georgie, who's more in tune with her body, knows now when I can sort of push it a bit and go, right, I need to be more, this is gonna be a busy week for me. So I've got a full week of meetings, but I also know when I need to maybe go in, tools down at 5 o'clock, head to the gym, go and do a yoga class, whatever. I feel like I'm more in tune now. But what's your thoughts on that? Because I think that there is so many mixed messages out there about work-life balance and making sure that you don't overdo it. But I think for a period of time, it is important. But in my personal experience, it's not sustainable over the long run. But what's your experience been about, because you work with a lot of founders, you started your own business yourself. What is it like in the beginning? Because I don't want to just sort of say to people, you're always going to have great balance starting a business, because the reality is you're not. You never really switch off from it. So yeah, over to you. What's your thoughts on that sort of whole hustle culture? And do we need to put in the work to start with, or can we do it, in a bit more of a graceful, slower pace?
I think there's definitely scope to be more intelligent with the way that we're using our time, and really working smarter, not harder, I think is sort of the way that I really like to approach it. And yeah, there are going to be times where you have to really push yourself, but I don't like extending that past, a week or two. I think that it's reasonable that you'd have, a couple of days or so. But I really think that it comes into this genius of really understanding and like sort of almost discerning what you need to do. And it's sort of not that you need to do everything, it's sort of you need to do the right thing. So doing things like understanding the outcome you're after, understanding the 20-80 rule, as in, 20% of the things should get you 80% of the results, and then sort of dropping that. I think I also come from a background of law where the modus operandi is like perfectionism. And so I think that when people go into business, they're trying to be perfectionists about it. But I also just think allowing yourself the grace to know that not everything is going to get done in like a completely perfect way, but and perfectionism is the lowest sort of standard that you can have for yourself, because you can never reach it. But having a standard of excellence is sort of what matters. If you can go to bed at the end of the day being like, did I do the best I could? I think that that's a really good yardstick versus like, did I do everything? Because that's not realistic. And especially, if people that, potentially have other responsibilities, partners, kids, whatever, I think it's even more stressful because they feel like they're failing them. But at the same time, it's so beautiful to just think, okay, well, did you do the best job you could? Can you add value? Did you understand your main outcomes? And I think that that's really where the joy is, figuring out what is your main outcome and then understanding how can you execute on that.
Absolutely solid advice. And I think the other thing that I would probably add to that as well, because it, again, it goes back to define what success means to you and how you totally want your life to look, right? So, you know, if you're somebody that wants to grow a, I don't know, multi-million dollar business, right? Your work ethic, the amount of time and energy you're gonna have to put into that versus someone that just wants a lifestyle business and maybe wants to make a couple hundred thousand, completely different, right? So I guess it is very individual. So it depends, okay, what your goals are, what your values are, and what you're wanting to achieve and that's going to determine, you know, the input, the hours that you work, the amount of, like, you know, people that you need to, you know, get on board, work with, and the amount of resources you need to build that. So I think it is probably very individual. But yeah, I think it's really, really important for people who are starting on any journey, whether it's their career, entrepreneurial, to really define their values and what success means to them. Because otherwise you can end up climbing up a ladder to realize, oh, this isn't where I want to be. And I think so many people do that, totally, which is really sad. So let's move on now, because I think that one thing that I really wanted to dive in today was the whole high performance piece. I think that there's so many people that, you know, I always say it, we've all got the same amount of time in the day. We've all got the same 24 hours. It's how we use the 24 hours. So if someone's in there right now and they really want to be maximizing their time, being the most productive they can be, what are some of the habits that you think make up high performers? And how can we, if we don't feel like we're high performing at the minute, how can we begin to become more efficient in our days and our lives?
I love that. And I think that it sort of goes back to what we're just saying, which is I think to be a high performer is to understand that success is a science. So there are certain things that you can follow to become successful, but fulfillment is an art, and understanding what fulfills you is that art that I think a lot of high performers get really right, because they understand this is what's making me happy, this is not what's making me happy, and then they're continuing to do that. I think the best tip, and I sort of mentioned it before, but I think the best tip for a high performer is asking themselves really empowering, structured, focused questions. So asking yourself, what are you really after here? Because that will mean that maybe you don't reply to all the emails if that doesn't match your outcome. So what is your outcome? Why do you want it? Because that's going to push you through. And then how are you going to do it? And then choose effectively. And that's what I find is the most effective way to get people to understand where they're spending their time. But I also think that there's this huge element of becoming a high performer, which is about state management. Like, where are you in your state? So if you're in a lousy state, you're not going to want to do anything. If you feel tired and grumpy, you're not going to get up and do the best job that you can be. But if you're in an empowered state, if you feel confident, if you feel happy, if you feel I'm ready to go out there and absolutely smash it out of the park, that's what you're going to do. Our minds are like they're just sort of like a magnet to whatever we're sort of thinking about. So if we have a question in our minds, like, God, I can't believe I have to do this today, then your mind's going to find reasons for you to have that same sort of thought. Whereas if you're like, yeah, I've got this, I'm going to nail this, this is the sort of person I am, then I think it sort of almost allows you to sort of move through those challenging times and really step into being the high performer that you are. So I think confidence is a muscle. I think it's something that you have to really build. But I also think high performance is the same thing. It's like you stepping into a role. And especially with the people that I work with, we almost sort of start developing different roles. So a role for a business leader, like a role for example, a partner, a role for them just to be themselves. So they can really sort of step into that and push when they need to. And then when they're at home, they don't need to do that. So I think that gives them a lot of space and time to be able to create the sort of things that they want to.
Thank you so much for listening to today's podcast. I wanted to quickly pop in and talk to you about our amazing supporter, CH Talent Solutions. We are an IT and digital recruitment company based in Australia. If you are someone right now looking for a new opportunity or considering a career pivot, please reach out to one of our consultants. Or if you are somebody looking to build your team or build your company or scale, again, please reach out to us if you are looking to find the best tech talent fast. I look forward to connecting with you. Now back to today's episode. Enjoy. Yeah, I absolutely love that. And I think I love what you said about just this whole thought process of, like, you know, mental state, because if you yes. are not in a good frame of mind that day, you don't do anything well. And we've all woken up, no one's perfect, on the wrong side of the bed. And we just feel lousy. And do you know what I've learned to do on those days? Is just give myself some grace and be like, Georgina, like, you can't always wake up as your usual high energy self. Some days you're going to wake up for whatever reason, usually it's hormonal, but, you know, and not be functioning at my absolute best that day. And I used to push myself through it and get really frustrated at myself and, you know, go and do some intense exercise and just try and, like, you know, listen to a motivational podcast. And sometimes, do you know what I need that day is just to have a bit of a slower paced day, make sure I'm just showing up, doing what needs to get done that day and switching off early that day. And I do allow myself now that grace, but beforehand I would just push through. But then I also know what it feels like to wake up and to feel that drive, that determination. But one thing I've noticed about myself and from speaking to lots of people on podcasts and just meeting some incredible people over the years is that motivation, we can't rely on that. But what we need to develop, you mentioned muscle and confidence, definitely one of them, but the self-discipline. Sometimes we're going to wake up and we're going to be in one of those funky moods and we're not going to want to do it. But it is on those days where you start to build the confidence and the self-belief and the self-esteem in yourself, because you do it anyway. Self-discipline is so important to just, I don't want to do this, but I'm going to do it anyway, because I show up for myself. My word is my bond. I said I was going to do this today and I'm going to get it done. And that automatically starts to build that high performance, because I think what people in my sort of experience and for me personally, they need that stack of evidence to be like, I'm a high performance because when I say I'm going to do something, I do it. I'm a high performer because, you know, I optimize my time and I make sure that I'm doing things in my day that make me feel good. It's stacking that. I think that's really, really important. And one thing that I think more people need to do is just, like, look back on their lives and go, what evidence do I have that support who I want to become? And the other thing you mentioned as well, which I think is super powerful, is that whole who do I want to be, and I starting to identify with that future version of you. When you and going back to, like, your back accident, how important was that in your journey to sort of go, I'm not going to identify with Veronica with a, you know, a painful back and a broken back. I want to identify with Veronica as fit, healthy, motivated, agile. Like, how important was that to future cast yourself and visualize who you wanted to become? Is that a big part of becoming a high performer?
Yeah, absolutely. I think definitely for me, I just remember this one day, it would have been a couple of years after the accident. And I just remember one day writing in my journal and being like, this, something along the lines of, like, this is not a curse. Like, this is not something that's bad. This is a beautiful gift. And I remember just, like, writing for pages about how beautiful it was and how wonderful it was and how excited I was to sort of live a life like this. And I think that having to imagine myself, you know, doing the sorts of things that I now do, like, I ocean swim, and that's something that I never, ever, ever thought I would do. And so having to do that, and I think that's the power of the imagination and the power of the faculties of our mind, is that imagination piece that you're sort of saying, and sort of being able to imagine what that would be like is so powerful. So, you know, Olympic athletes imagine their races going well and not going well so that they're prepared for circumstances that are beyond their control. And I think that when you're trying to do something new, whether it's starting a habit or starting a business or something like that, using visualization to tell your mind, hey, this is what we're going after, really, really, really helps. And it certainly did with me. And it certainly helped me understand, okay, who is this person now that this thing has happened? Because I'm no longer the person that was that before. And now I really want to step into that. And I think, you know, I think that when we're able to have that grace of, we're moving from this to that, and what does it look like if we stay here, stay stuck, you know, that sort of darker fork in the path, versus, okay, what does it look like if I choose a more empowering story for myself I think that's really where that real juice is, because, you know, as I said, we've all had our own, you know, broken back moment where something terrible has happened, but how we rise up to that, how we develop that. And we may not know what comes next, but we may know what step to take next. And I think that that's the difference in realizing, you know, it's all systems. Like, this is a process that we need to move through. Yeah.
I completely agree. And it's like, you know, you can't expect to change just the same with the same personality, doing the same things every single day, you know, talking
absolutely
in the same limited way, you know, having the same vision, you know, just identifying with your current circumstances. You know, so many people say, oh, I want to do this, or I want to achieve this. And it's like, well, what are you doing about it? How are you, you know, how are you visualizing your future? How are you sort of changing some small habits day to day? Because if you want that, you're not going to get that behaving the same way with the same personality. You need to change something in your life. Something's got to change before everything externally changes. And totally. That's the biggest thing that I've realized, is probably why you're so passionate about personal growth, is nothing changes until you do.
Absolutely.
And that was such a big wake up call for me to realize that, you know, I'm struggling with all of this anxiety and mental health issues, but every single day I was running my life like I was constantly on the treadmill, functioning at, you know, this high beta, you know, just stress, taking on more and more and more. And I thought, well, how am I ever thinking I'm going to start getting a grasp of this anxiety and start feeling good if I'm constantly just running myself on empty every single day, but constantly pushing myself more and more and more and more? And it was just a wake up call that I needed. And in fact, you know, one thing I did, and I recommend everyone does if they're wanting to change, is just start reading, just start sort of, you know, working on yourself every single day. And I'd love to get your thoughts on this as well, Veronica, but, you know, every single day I listen to podcasts. You know, I've constantly got a self-development book that's opened. I'm, you know, going to, you know, seminars and watching webinars. I'm speaking to amazing women and people like yourself. I'm constantly want to learn, and I'll never stop, because I think that ultimately fulfillment in life comes from growth, feeling like you're growing and feeling like you're constantly learning and developing yourself. That's for me personally. But any books or any podcasts or anything when you were going through your sort of like your personal growth journey that were really beneficial for you, and how, you know, how it changed your perception on life?
Absolutely. So I started by getting into biohacking my body because I had so much inflammation. So I had to sort of manage that. And so I just love, there's this podcast out there called The Model Health Show by Sean Stevenson. And
yes,
he talks about,
good.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Oh, so mm-hmm. good. Yeah. And he talks about, yeah, like just epigenetics and how you can do certain things mm-hmm. and change your body. And I just thought that whole concept was so incredibly inspiring as like a, type A law student that I was like, oh my god, so if I eat different, like my whole life's gonna be different. And it totally was true. So I think that really, really helped, and that got me on the path. And I think that there's been I think the biggest, most formidable force in this space was meeting my own coach, and she totally changed the way that I saw things. And although I was in personal development for quite some time before I met her, just the way that she was able to help me move through some of those sorts of more challenging, shadowy sort of things was really, really helpful. So I think in personal development, there's this sort of idea sometimes that you sort of have to push through your feelings. But I think that when you meet somebody that you can share that with and then you can move through it, it means that you sort of don't bypass that. So if you're feeling anxious, like, allow yourself to do that. And I think meeting my coach, Jane, was like a really huge awakening for me, because she saw me, she heard me, and she always raised me to what she knew that I can be. So I think that that was really, really helpful for me.
Yeah, super powerful. And the power of a coach is just incredible, which leads me on to my sort of like final sort of question, because obviously you're now part of the Women Fellowship at Startmate. So I'm imagining that that gives you so much fulfillment and meaning, helping women, you know, get into tech, build their businesses, and get, you know, maybe a bit of your give back and things as well. But, you know, let's sort of think about, you know, the woman that maybe is listening to this now, and she wants to make something of herself, or a man that wants to sort of take his career or business next level, whoever's listening to this right now, what's one thing that they could do today to start improving their life and seeing change, you know, in their life, in their business or career? What's the one thing that you think, if I do this every day, I know I'm going to have a good day? Or is it one thing, or is it a couple of things? What sort of springs to mind? I know, big question.
Okay. No, absolutely amazing question. So I think the first thing that springs to mind when you asked me that question was where you've been is not where you're going. And if you're trying to start something, relying on your past experiences or past like failures or past opportunities that you've missed or whatever, that's not where you are now and that's not where you can go. So I think that that really helped me with my own journey and certainly with my other clients as well. So I think just understanding that. And then I would say if there's one thing to do, I'd say wake up in the morning and then as soon as you can, because you'll still be an alpha when you wake up, start visualizing your day, your dreams, whatever you want to do, and just connecting with that, because that will allow your subconscious mind to say, hey, this is actually who we are. This is what we're going for. And I think, you know, allowing and learning from the things that you've gone through, I think is really, really powerful as well. I'm really passionate about not only women, but the LGBTIQA plus community. And I think that those two particular communities have faced so much challenges, especially in the last couple of years. So I think to, you know, accept where you are and move forward from that and be able to add value to the world is such a powerful thing. And it gives you so much fulfillment and meaning. So those would be my tips, but happy to go into it in a little bit more detail.
Oh, that's such powerful advice, and I completely agree, because you're constantly waking up every single day identifying as the person you were yesterday without a vision for the future. Your life, like I said, is not going to change because your personality becomes your personal reality, and I truly believe that. So first and foremost, like Veronica said, wake up. As soon as you wake up, put on a meditation. I love a Dr. Joe meditation myself. And do that whole visualization piece. Trust me, I've been doing it for quite a while now. It's very, very powerful. And it's definitely, it just sort of like, I don't know about you, but it opens up my mind and I start noticing patterns in my life and little synchronicities that start to happen. People come into my life at the right time. And I go, oh, okay, this is interesting. You know, and maybe it would have happened if I didn't visualize it or didn't think about it, but things start to happen. Little breadcrumbs come down from wherever and say, keep going, you're on the right path. And I think that's when it gets exciting and life starts to feel like you're in the driver's seat and you get to create it. And yes, there's always going to be things that happen that, you know, can take the, you know, the sails from, take the wind from your sails, but you still get to decide every single day how you move forward. You're in control and do not let external factors derail you from where you want to go. Verona, I could honestly just sit here and talk to you for hours. There's probably things that we haven't touched on today, but look, where can people find you if they want to find out more about your high performance coaching and just help them getting to the next level in life? Where should I send people?
Absolutely. You can look me up on LinkedIn. My name's Veronica Mason, or you can look at my website as well, brfuturesco.com. And yeah, I'd be happy to chat.
We'll make sure we put the links in the show notes below.
Thank you,
Veronica,
so much.
Thank you so much for being on the Career Confidence Podcast today. It's been an honor chatting with you. And I hope everybody has enjoyed this conversation as much as I have. So thank you so much. Thank you so much for listening to today's episode. If you enjoy these episodes, the number one thing you can do to help us grow and keep spreading our mission and message is to hit the subscribe button. And if you have time, give us a quick rating. Appreciate each and every one of you who tune in every week, and we look forward to bringing you many more episodes this year. Take care.